It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years every Sunday evening, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time, that's 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and at drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this show again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com, that's drmarakarpel.com. Again, that's drmarakarp, like Paul, el.com. And the link to the podcast will be posted later tonight. And you can also hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after this show ends by going to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from this show and updates about upcoming shows, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and go to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. Also, follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Want to advertise your business? Send me an email to drmara@drmarakarpel.com. Go to my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. That's 512-626-6973. And this evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of this book, give a call at 512-261-7909 or send an email to rdevere, R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. His book is also available on amazon.com. And this evening's program is also sponsored by the bra lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This evening's program was also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8755. And today is Sunday, September the 14th, and we are back broadcasting live in beautiful Austin, Texas. And it has cooled down beautifully here in Austin, and we are keeping it cool right here, broadcasting once again from the office of Accomplice Entertainment in the Intelligent Office Suite on the 15th floor of the Frost Bank Building on Congress Avenue. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this show, is here doing the production engineering along with Russell Templeton, and they'll be answering your calls if you call later with questions. So give a call and say hi to Art and Russell. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers. And for the past few years, I've also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And this evening's show, we have another great lineup, so I want to get to that. But I first want to let you know some of the artists and guest speakers that are already scheduled to be on future shows. In the coming weeks, we have musicians Jim Berg, Lauren Reed, Kathleen Hudson, Claude Butch Morgan, Liz Morphis, and more. Always great music, great entertainment. And future guests include the author, The Barefoot Doctor, who is in Britain, Quentin Zenny, who is a yogi and a wellness coach in New York City. Jihan Barak of Global Shift here in Austin, Texas. And author Esther Bertram in London. And author Libby Ford will be here in October, broadcasting from as far away as you can possibly get on the globe. She'll be joining us from Melbourne, Australia. So that'll be really fun. And the lineup for this evening show, we have some great guests. In the first hour, joining me in the studio right here in the Frost Bank building, we have memory specialist, neurologist, and director of the Taste and Smell Disorders Clinic in Lakeway, Texas, along with the memory clinic. Dr. Ronald DeVere is back this time to talk about taste and smell disorders. And along with Dr. DeVere, we have Marjorie Calvert of the Four Seasons Hotel and food consultant at the Taste and Smell Disorders Clinic. Dr. DeVere and Marjorie Calvert are co-authors of the book Navigating Smell and Taste Disorders. So that should be really interesting. I'm looking forward to that. And then stay tuned for the second hour when the producer of this show, Art Mendoza, will be on this side of the microphone to talk about his new musical play, Backwards on Purpose, as well as what's new with this show, and we'll be playing some of Art's new music. And also in the second hour, Betty Strexus of the Texas Silverhaired Legislature will be back to join us from Houston, Texas, to talk about Medicare open enrollment, which is about to begin. So I think that there will be many listeners out there who'd be interested to learn more about Medicare open enrollment. And before we go to our guests, I'll be talking a bit about mindfulness meditation for mind and body wellness. And throughout the show, I will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or if you don't want to talk on the air, you can send your questions to me via email or Twitter, and I will read your questions to the guests over the air. And my email address, once again, is drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmaracarpel.com, drmaracarpel.com. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. And I have both of those open right now on the computer, and they will be open throughout the show. So send your questions or call. So now, mindfulness meditation. A few weeks ago, I spoke a bit about mindfulness. I touched on this in my discussion about managing pain. But I want to talk some more about it because mindfulness meditation is also beneficial for many other things in addition to coping with chronic pain. The recent research has consistently found, in fact, that the practice of mindfulness meditation at any age can increase the benefits of medical treatments for serious illnesses. It can significantly decrease anxiety and depression. It can help with recovery and prevent relapse of substance abuse. It can increase the chances of healthy aging in general, and it can actually increase our lifespan. And in fact, a recent study published in the Journal of Psychiatry Research found that people who participated in a mindfulness-based stress reduction program showed in brain imaging studies that they had changes in the gray matter density of their brain in those regions of the brain that are important for new learning, for memory, emotional relation, and problem solving. So they actually found scientifically that doing mindfulness meditation can actually make changes in your brain that are beneficial. So hang on there and let's get on to what mindfulness is so that you can start doing this great thing. So what is mindfulness? Mindfulness is being present in this moment. And why do we want to be present in the here and now? Well, the famous Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh wrote in his book, which is one of my favorite books, filled with various meditations, and it's called Peace is Every Step, this particular of his books. He's written many. Every breath we take, every step we make can be filled with peace, joy, and serenity. We need only to be awake, alive in the present moment. So the fact is that although we are all technically alive and awake right now, obviously, or I wouldn't be talking to you and you wouldn't be listening to me, very often we're really not fully alive and awake. We're often off in a dream about the past or worrying about the future, thinking about old hurts in the past, worrying about thinking about things going wrong in the future, and so on. And being mindful, as Ram Dass, the famous author, wrote, being mindful is to be here now. And John Kabat-Zinn, who is a big proponent of mindfulness meditation, especially for stress and for pain management, tells us the practice of mindfulness has been shown to exert a powerful influence on one's health, well-being, and happiness. Mindfulness is not merely a good idea, it's a way of being, rather than merely a good idea or a clever technique or a passing fad. And Shannon Duncan, author of Present Moment Awareness, writes, being fully in the present moment is one of our most powerful keys to living a joyful and peaceful life. So the practice of mindfulness meditation, what is that? Well, very simply, it consists of focusing on one's breathing and keeping one's mind focused on the present, bringing it back whenever it strays into thoughts about the past or the future. So here's an example of a brief mindfulness meditation from the book Mindfulness, An 8-Week Plan for Finding Peace in a Frantic World by Mark Williams and Danny Penman. They say to sit erect in a straight back chair and, if possible, bring your back a little bit away from the rear of the chair so that your spine is self-supporting. Your feet can be flat on the floor and close your eyes or lower your gaze. Focus your attention on your breath as it flows in and out. Stay in touch with the different sensations of each in-breath and each out-breath. And observe the breath without looking for anything special to happen. There is no need to alter your breath. There's nothing to change. There's nothing to control. Just notice the feeling of your breath as it comes in and as it goes back out. And you might notice that after a while, your mind will wander. And when you notice this, just gently bring your attention back to your breathing without giving yourself a hard time about it. The act of realizing that your mind has wandered and bringing your attention back without criticizing yourself is actually a central practice of mindfulness meditation. And just as an aside, I want to emphasize that even if your mind wanders 50 seconds in a minute, with only 10 seconds of the minute consisting of having your mind focused on the present moment, those 50 seconds are just as valuable as the 10 seconds of mindfulness if you're practicing non-judgment of the wandering mind and gently bringing your mind back to the present, because you are getting into the practice of gently training your mind. And that's very important in mindfulness. And you might notice that your mind will eventually become calm, like a still pond, or that it might not. And even if you get a sense of absolute stillness, it may only be fleeting. If you feel angry or exasperated, notice that this may be fleeting too. Whatever happens, just allow it to be as it is. And again, this is a good practice for non-judgment and not fighting what is. The more you fight what is, the stronger your anger or exasperation, for example, will become and the longer that it'll stay with you. And after a minute, let your eyes open and take in the room again. So this type of meditation helps you see that your thoughts will come and go if you don't struggle with them, and that you are not your thoughts. Thoughts and feelings are actually transient. They come and they go if you allow it. And as Williams and Penman state, thoughts and feelings come and go, and ultimately you have a choice about whether to act on them or not. So being mindful is about observing your thoughts and your feelings without judgment and about having compassion toward yourself. When you notice unhappiness or feelings of stress rather than taking it personally, you, as Williams and Penman state, you learn to treat them as if they were black clouds in the sky and observe them with friendly curiosity as they drift past. And this allows you to catch negative thought patterns before they send you downward into a spiral of negativity. So a very simple addition to that meditation that I just read to you is to add a piece from Thich Nhat Hanh's Pieces Every Step. And that is, while you're noticing your in and your out breaths, think to yourself as you're breathing in. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Dwelling in the present moment, I know this is a wonderful moment. So if you keep saying that to yourself, as you breathe in and as you breathe out, it is a way of bringing yourself back to your breath, and it's hard to be thinking about other thoughts. So it actually helps you with being able to stay focused in the present moment. Another very interesting finding that Williams and Penman found pointed out is that not only does your mood affect the way that your body moves, for example, you may notice that when you see someone who is depressed, when you see them walking, they tend to walk more slowly. Or maybe you notice when you feel kind of low, you walk more slowly and with a slumped posture. But it's also been found that the way you move your body actually affects your mood. For example, they give an exercise to see this for yourself. So you might want to try this. Sit for a minute with your shoulders slumped forward and your head down. And at the end of that time, notice how you feel. And if your mood, notice if you start to feel lower in energy and kind of down. And if you notice that your mood has worsened, then finish the experiment by shifting to a posture in which you're sitting upright with your head and your neck balanced on your shoulders. Or you might want to flex your shoulders back and breathe into your heart. Pull your shoulders back, puff your chest out, and even lean your head back and look at the ceiling and breathe as if you can feel the breath coming into your heart. And breathe in deeply and let the air out slowly through your mouth. Do this for a few cycles of breath, and you might notice that your mood is boosted by this. So if you're feeling in a low mood, you might try this. And this fits with what several guests on the show have discussed when they have talked about yoga postures, as there are several postures in yoga that are specifically helpful for easing depression and anxiety. And this posture that I just mentioned is part of such a yoga posture. So sitting with your shoulders back and puffing your chest out, breathing in through your chest. So back to the spiral of negative thinking, spiraling down into more and more negative emotions. When we focus our attention on a negative thought, and I have spoken about this before, or even struggle and fight with the thought, that thought will tend to become stronger, and it will tend to lead to more thoughts that are similar to it, escalating into more and more negativity. And the mind plays tricks on us. We illogically believe that if we think about old experiences that were negative and replay those old videotapes and analyze them, that we will somehow change the ending to be more positive. But we know that's not true, logically. And instead, we feel worse and worse, not only replaying a painful experience and in essence re-experiencing this negative event, but we also end up jumping to other related negative memories or worries about the future. And as you can see, this is a downward spiral leading to further anxiety or depressed mood. When practicing mindfulness meditation, when these types of thoughts come to mind, we just notice them. We don't try to fight them. We don't try to push them away, but we notice them without judgment, and with curiosity, and we gently bring ourselves back to focus on our breathing or the feeling in our body rather than getting hooked by these thoughts. And the thoughts come up again, and we might label it and say to ourselves, oh, that's interesting, there's a thought about that argument that I had. And by labeling it, we don't get hooked by the thought. We don't follow it to where it leads us. We just notice it. We distance ourselves from it by labeling it, and we let it drift by just like a cloud. And when we do this, when we notice a thought, rather than analyze the thought or follow it, we allow it to gently drift away. And the more that we practice this, the easier it gets, and the more we're able to do this throughout the day, not just when we're sitting in meditation. When you become aware of your thoughts and you notice them, you separate yourself from the thoughts. Throughout the day, you can do this. And it allows you to step outside yourself, outside of the chattering self-talk and the reactive impulses and emotions. So when you're sitting at work and you're feeling stressed out and drained, you can breathe and focus on your breathing and just allow your thoughts to come and go. And you can actually do any activity mindfully. Try washing your hands mindfully. Try eating mindfully. Try walking mindfully. Take a walk and walk slowly. Try not to rush while you walk. And just notice with each breath, whether you're breathing in, with each step, whether you're breathing in or breathing out. So you might take 3 steps with each in-breath and then 3 steps with each out-breath, or any amount of steps that feels comfortable with each breath, and silently say to yourself as you breathe in and step in, and then out, and just notice the feeling of your feet on the earth and notice the sights around you and notice your breathing. So that's something to try later today. Don't walk away from your computer or however you're listening to this show, but give a try. Do a walking meditation or sit in meditation for 10, 15 minutes, just focusing on your breathing. And I'm sure I'll be talking about this again in the future, so stay tuned. We'll talk about more mindfulness meditations, and I hope to have a guest on the show who's an expert in mindfulness meditation in the future. So for now, stick around, and we're going to take a brief break. And after the break, neurologist Dr. Ronald DeVere and Marjorie Calvert, authors of the book Navigating Smell and Taste Disorders, will be joining us. And we'll be taking your calls, tweets, or emails with your questions. So give a call toll-free at 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or send me a tweet to M-A-R-A-E-K or an email to Dr. Mara at drmaracarpel.com. And we will be right back.
Super Psychologist Dr. Mara Carpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra, and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worry about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. Available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
And we're back. If you're just... And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpel.com. And joining me in the studio once again, neurologist, memory specialist, author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, and also navigating smell and taste disorders, and director of the Memory Clinic and the Taste and Smell Disorder Clinic, Dr. Ronald DeVere, along with Marjorie Calvert, who is the food consultant for the Taste and Smell Disorders Clinic and the co-author of the book, Navigating Smell and Taste Disorders. And before we go to the guests, I'm going to test the microphones here and make sure that we have proper audio. So can you guys talk into the mic? Let me know.
Hi.
All right.
Hi, Mark.
All right. Can you hear us out there? All right. We're going to keep going and see if you guys can be heard. So, again, I want to let the listeners know to give a call if they have any questions at 855-345-4720. And welcome back, Dr. DeVere, and welcome, Marjorie.
Thanks so much for having us on your show today.
Thank you.
And can you tell us a little bit about your background? Can you hear us out there, Art? No, you can't be heard? Okay, so we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to fix the audio here, and then we're going to come right back, okay?
Okay, we're going to try this again. We're back, and joining me
Once again, are Dr. Ronald DeVere and Marjorie Calvert, who are co-authors of the book Taste and Smell Disorders, Navigating Smell and Taste Disorders, I'm sorry. And if you have any questions or comments, give a call at 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or send me a tweet to M-A-R-A-E-K or an email to Dr. Mara at drmaracarpool.com. And welcome back, Dr. DeVere and Marjorie. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and why you wrote this book?
Well, I'm a neurologist, but unrelated to that, I lost my smell back in 1996. I was having a bowl of cereal, and I usually smell the milk to be sure it's not sour. And when I drank the milk with the cereal, I realized it was very sour and I couldn't smell it. And after that, I decided to find out more about why I couldn't smell. And it turned out that I had a bad cold, and it's not uncommon for people following a cold. Some people end up with a long-term smell loss. And I ended up doing some reading about it. I went to see a specialist, Dr. Doty in Pennsylvania, and make a long story short, I decided to put together a book since there wasn't really anything out there for the public and even for family physicians. We don't learn any stuff about smell and taste in medical school, and even the ENT doctors who are specialists, many of them are more geared in the surgical side. So that's kind of what happened.
So And what about you, Marjorie? What's your background?
Well, my background is food and beverage industry, and the reason that I became involved with Ron's project is mostly because he's married to my sister, and we were all having dinner together one evening, and we got on the subject of Ron having lost his sense of smell for a while, and we just started talking about food and how distressing that was to him when he couldn't taste and what it must be like for people who can't smell or taste permanently. And he kind of had the idea of us doing something for his patients out at Lakeway that he was treating for lots of different reasons, but who had smell and taste disorder. And was there something that we could do through changing their food, their dining experiences to make, you know, eating be a pleasure for them again?
Okay. So what is the relationship then between a taste, because you mentioned taste and smell. What's the relationship between taste and smell?
Well, Mara, the smell system is responsible for odors, but also for flavors. So when we talk about flavors, we're talking about chocolate, strawberry, vanilla. The taste system, which is, people interchange those words, but in the medical side, taste is five tastants: sweet, sour, bitter, salt, and umami, which is a Japanese term for savory. And then you also have another system, which is the spice system and texture, temperature, and that's through the sensory nerves in the mouth. So when people say they have a taste problem, they're not going to tell you their flavors are impaired, but we have to know that because we can tell from what the person is saying and how we get when we test them that there's a big difference. People with smell disorders, majority of them in the 90% will have a flavor disorder. Their taste will be normal. Primary taste disorders are very uncommon compared to smell. So that's where the difference is to understand, and that's what we have tried to put together in making this subject matter a little better understanding.
And what Ron does during the kind of the initial profiling or testing of each client is finding out to what degree either their smell or taste is impaired, because there are certain impairments, and Ron can speak to this way better medically, But there are certain impairments that can definitely be influenced by the flavor that you can still pick up through your sense of taste that might be left. At some point, I know there are certain levels that you get to that we can't help people at all in terms of what we're doing. But the reason that, you know, that Ron and I got involved in this was just simply because I have a really big passion for, you know, food and recipes. And I've been lucky in my career to have worked for some really top chefs and to have been able to be involved in menu engineering. So I kind of got it that we can do lots of things with your basic food simply by adding flavors to what you might not think would even work sometimes, but when you're impaired, it can make your enjoyment of food real for you again.
So let's go back a little bit. How would you diagnose or evaluate a taste or smell disorder?
I didn't quite hear that question, Myra. I'm sorry.
How would you diagnose or evaluate a taste or smell disorder? How would you be able to figure out what's going on?
Well, like every other thing in a medical evaluation, you get a good history. And when you ask the person, do you have, when they come in and say, well, you know, I really don't enjoy my taste, or they're not going to tell you their flavors are not good. So you ask them, do you have trouble with sweet, sour, bitter, salt, or spice? And then you get an idea what they're talking about. And we want to know if they had a cold, if they had a head injury, because those are common chronic sinus infections. Are they on medication? And we, what I do is we give them a smell test, which is standardized by University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Doty, back in the 80s. And he tested 4,000 normal population, and you're given 40 different odors. And usually we it's a forced choice. And then depending on how you score out of 40, you scored 38 out of 40, that'd be good. But if you're 25 years old and score 32 out of 40, that would be impaired. And then we use taste strips, which have different concentrations of sweet, sour, bitter, and salt. And you give the person the strip, they put it in their mouth, and they have to tell you if it's sweet, sour, bitter, salt, or nothing. And we do a different concentration. So by the time we're done, we have an idea, is this mostly a smell disorder with secondary flavors impaired, or is this a normal smell, but yet there may be a primary taste disorder? And that's how we would decide how severe is the problem, and then from the history we would be able to tell hopefully what the cause is. There's a lot of medications, for example, blood pressure pills, even some of the cholesterol drugs can do that, chemotherapy. So we have to take a good history and keep all those things in mind.
Okay, so you mentioned a few of the causes of taste or smell disorders. Are there other causes for taste and smell disorders?
Yeah, there's vitamin deficiency. Diabetics can get it because of they get a neuropathy of their feet. They can get a neuropathy of their smell system. There are a lot of disorders that are silent. For example, there's a lot of information about Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. But those people don't usually complain of a smell, of a taste or smell problem. The way they find out is the family notices that they're not interested in their food, or they don't eat as much, or their appetite isn't good. It's rare that those people will come in and say they have a smell problem. But we know if they have that condition that there may be a problem just because they don't say it.
Okay. All right. And I know in your book you talk about how just normal aging can sometimes cause an impairment in taste or smell. What smells or tastes are typically impaired due to aging?
Now, aging doesn't have a specific smell impairment as far as what kind of smell. As we get older, we lose our ability to smell, and that's because the nerves get a bit older and they degenerate. And that you can find that out when you look at the table of normal. Somebody who's 80 years old, he could score 33 out of 40, and that'd be normal for 80. If you're 40 years old, you probably should score 35 or 36. But it is a common problem. And so when an older person gets a bad cold on top of it or a head injury, they can get a double whammy and get impaired. So we always keep age as importance.
Yeah, and so go on.
And you might find that that 80-year-old person who scores normally on the smell test for, you know, their age demographic, but they're pouring salt all over their food, and they're not doing their health any good because they're over-salting things so badly because all of a sudden they just realize that nothing tastes great or they can't taste it at all. So the first instinct is to throw salt all over everything because it's sitting on everybody's table or in their cupboard. And so, again, we figured out that there were a lot of different things that you could do to food to make it taste sharper, or just so that you could even pick it up, but without adding things to the food that is going to be bad for your health in other ways.
So I guess, I mean, you mentioned one thing, that one reason why it would be important to diagnose and manage a smell disorder in an older person, you know, that because they might start over-salting their food, which could lead to obvious health issues. Are there other reasons why it would be important for an older person to have this disorder diagnosed?
Well, I think the big thing is safety. Not only is there a problem with food enjoyment, but the problem we have here is a lot of people can't smell smoke, fire, you know, and so you'd be sure they have a fire alarm in the house, carbon monoxide alarm, spoiled food. If you wait till it turns green and you have food in the fridge, that could be too late. So food has to be dated and labeled. Deodorant is a problem for people. They don't smell deodorant, and so other people have to tell them that they need deodorant. Chemicals in the house, little bottles that you put things in if you don't label them, that's a danger. So that's very important for safety, particularly if you live alone. A lot of older people, 80-year-olds we're living longer now. They're living together, and both of them will have impaired smell just because of aging. They may not be able to detect smoke.
Yeah, that's important. And, you know, I know that you mentioned in your book, and I had heard this recently, that there is a connection between smell and Alzheimer's disease. Can you talk a little bit about that connection?
Well, the smell system sends its information from the nose to the temporal lobe, which is the inner temporal lobe. That's exactly where the memory center, as part of your evaluation, is there. So it's not uncommon for people to have a memory disorder and they don't know their smell is not important because detected, because they often don't complain. But a lot of times if you do a smell test on those people, you'll find that they have a smell problem. Sometimes it's helpful in making a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, not just doing a smell test, but if they have memory loss and there's other cognitive impairment and their MRI and other testing is not conclusive, if you do a smell test on top of that and they never had a smell problem before, it's not conclusive, but it gives you more information that is suspicious that this could be a part of an Alzheimer's process. So we use smell testing not as a very solid piece of evidence, but it's also helpful. More importantly, though, you're picking up a safety concern, and a lot of these people, as Margie said, they're adding a lot of salt, their blood pressure gets out of whack, and I think it's important to diagnose it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also have issues with extreme weight loss and or gain, with people trying to not even realize that they're just trying to figure out how to eat. So there can be some real extreme food situations that happen before people even realize why they're doing it.
Right. So adding salt or not wanting to eat because nothing tastes good can be, you know, health concerns.
Yes.
Now, I had heard recently, and I think you mentioned this, ocular smells, that people with Alzheimer's lose the ability to smell, and that can be diagnostic. Is that true, that if they lose those particular smells, it can...
Well, there is no evidence solid that specific smells are impaired in Alzheimer's. There was a paper that suggested it, but it's not been duplicated. But it's okay. Clear that Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, even different other kinds of dementias can. But, for example, stroke dementia, somebody has strokes as a cause of dementia, their smell's not impaired. They actually have a normal smell that's age-related because the disease is not in the temporal lobe where Alzheimer's begins or in the pathway. So sometimes you could sort out, if you have lots of strokes and causing memory loss, and your smell's normal, that suggests that you may not have Alzheimer's as a cause of your memory because strokes don't do that. You can't use it 100%. It has to be put together with other tests, MRIs, PET scans, and other things we put together. But it's inexpensive. It costs about $25 to buy the test, a little more to give it. And, again, you can have some information on lack of smell for safety reasons and also for food changes and food preparation.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So now what about taste disorders? Are they caused by the same issues or are there other problems that cause taste disorders?
I didn't quite catch the question, Mara. Sorry.
Okay. What about taste disorders of the taste that are not related to not being able to smell? Are they caused by different issues?
Yes. Well, I said the taste system member is made up of sweet, sour, bitter, salt, and umami. Your taste system doesn't work specifically with flavors. So you can identify those things still. The most common causes of primary taste disorder are smokers, because smoke will ruin your taste receptors. Also bad teeth, gums, poor dental hygiene, insufficient saliva. There are some diseases that do that. And medications. God, there's so many medicines that get into the saliva and impair the taste system. A lot of fungal medications, chemotherapy. A whole lot of things, zinc deficiency, vitamin deficiency, radiotherapy for your lungs or your throat. So it's a little different kind of disorder than the primary smell people. But it's less common, but it has to be included in the, that's why we do a thorough evaluation of taste and smell.
Right. Okay. So I'm curious about why smell is such a strong trigger for memories and emotions. Any thoughts about that, why smell triggers our thoughts and emotions so strongly, our memories and emotions so strongly, like when
yes.
we smell apple pie baking?
Yes. Well, in the basic anatomy that you would know in psychology, you have the limbic system, which begins in the medial part of the temporal lobe and goes all the way around the center of the brain and into the frontal lobe. And that's where your smell system is very close to that area, because the smell system is in the medial temporal lobe and also in the frontal lobe. So, for example, you may smell apple pie at somebody's house and remember your apple pie that you had at your grandmother's house on Christmas, or a certain smell reminds you of your wedding day, because it's very, you know, emotion is very wrapped up in our odors and smells that we have. They're very closely tied up in the same anatomical system.
Okay, because the receptors are actually in the same part of the brain.
Yes, and the pathways go through similar areas, not identical, but very similar.
That's interesting. Okay. So how can people live happily with taste and smell disorders? What can they do to be able to enjoy life and have less danger in their life as well.
I didn't quite get that, Mara. I'm sorry.
So how can people live happily with taste and smell disorders? How can they live safely and happily with these disorders?
Well, I'm going to let Margie talk about that. The first thing is safety. Also, most conditions get better. The prognosis has always been, oh, you got this problem, it never gets better. That's not true. There's studies from University of Pennsylvania up to 23 years to show that people get better. I improved 75% in my condition. Even head injuries that cause smell loss get better. So it's not the end of the line, even though you may hear that. And again, understanding the food preparation changes because what's spared, what isn't spared. You got a problem with flavors, with a smell disorder, you got normal tastes, and you got normal spices and all that. So I'm going to let Margie mention maybe some, because we have all the recipes that we tested in our book that people thought they were a benefit. And if you, and a lot of these patients gave us the recipes. If you gave me a recipe and you told me this was pretty good, that's a testimony. It doesn't mean it's going to help everybody. So I'll let Margie mention some of that.
So, Mara, we started with a test group out at a retirement center out in Lakeway, and we actually got their culinarians to go in with us, and we started with four recipes that we had their chef modify in different ways. And what we did was I took recipes that already had strong flavors, like citrus or jalapenos or ginger or vinegar, and so we were looking for things that already had good flavor in them, and then we had some patients from there, also a couple of people who didn't have, you know, who we identified as our normals, for lack of a better word, and then we had the chef out there do four different, make the recipe as stated, and then modify it four different ways based on increasing or decreasing existing flavors, and then we had a blind taste test. And we were very happy to find out that everybody who came to our original group, and I think it was about eight altogether, everybody left the test feeling very pleasantly surprised that they had found something that they still could eat that they liked and tasted good to them. And that sort of made us go on soliciting recipes from Ron's patients who he was already treating, and we just got this really flood of interest in people who wanted to participate in it, because everybody who, once they found something that helped them, they wanted to share it. And so, you know, we put in the book a lot of recipes that were as is, but as we were going through the process, and we did this a few times, we realized that, you know, for caregivers and for families who were maybe having to cook for a lot of people, that they could make a lot of difference in, say, a taste or smell impaired family member or client by using marinades and dressings and salsas and condiments once you had kind of taken the time to go through and say, hey, this still works for me. So, gosh, I'm going to put some kind of a spicy chutney or marinate my meat always in this because I can enjoy this and then I can sit down at the table and eat with my family. And you mentioned earlier, you know, being happy and contented and still be able to, and still maybe having a bit of a smell or taste disorder. And I think in this way, it makes people feel included again.
Yeah. So are there certain tastes, certain spices or additions to the food that typically work, or does it really vary from person to person?
Some of both, but we definitely did find that strong flavors are the ones, and intensely concentrated flavors were the things that seemed to be more of the common denominator. Sometimes it was people leaned more towards sweet. Some other people, they leaned more towards spicy. And it's also part of training people how to taste their food, too. When you put something on the back and the side of your tongues, you have different taste receptors back there than I think the ones that people are just think that they're going to use in the front of their mouth to taste things. So there are lots of training that you can do to help people's quality of life. And we think it's really important for caregivers too, because for one thing, it can be fun way to get to know your client and or spend time with your family member during a time that may not be that pleasant. And then you just get to find out once you've gone through these testing bits, and it's very easy and it's all laid out in the book. But once you've figured out what works for you, then you just start focusing on those tastes as much as you can. Or flavors, right, Ron? Flavors.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and so it'll give listeners a time to call with some time to call questions if they have any questions or email their questions, and we're going to come right back because I have more questions myself about this, okay? So stick around, and we're going to be back with Dr. Ronald DeVere and Marjorie Calvert talking about taste and smell disorders. And if you have a question, please feel free to give a call at 855-345-4720 or send me a tweet, M-A-R-A-E-K, or an email to Dr. Mara at drmaracarpell.com, and we'll be right back.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpell.com.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpell.com. And I am here speaking with Dr. Ronald DeVere and Marjorie Calvert about their book, Navigating Smell and Taste Disorders. And we're taking your questions and your comments. Give a call at toll-free 855-345-4720 or send me an email at drmara@drmaracarpell.com. That's D-R-M-A-R-A at DRMARAKARPEL.com. And if you send me an email, it will be easier this evening for me to see your question than if you send me a tweet. So send me an email if you want me to be sure to get your question. So I have some questions about the food. Are there any particular recipes that were or types of foods that were most liked by people who have some difficulties with taste or smell? Were there any favorites?
Yes, grilled food was definitely something that people could appreciated and liked. And then again, you know, I think grilling always adds a good, you know, a good flavor to Not just meat. Throw your veggies on the grill, you know. Just you marinate your vegetables in some yummy dressing or marinade and throw them in a grill basket and throw them on the grill too. And then also I think that, you know, maybe it's because of where we live, but a lot of the Tex-Mex sort of flavored items were very popular with, it seems, most clients too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you think that, you know, that that's because the flavors are stronger with these kind of foods? They're sharper?
Yes, but you could really, and oh, we also, you know, the other, and I would say third was the Asian-inspired things that we did, and they weren't necessarily Chinese, but again, with, you know, with some strong, with chili paste and ginger and garlic and rice vinegar, again, you know, a lot of it you can, you could take your favorite, if chicken's what you love, if salmon's what you like, but it's tasting awful to you right now, you can change it, again, by marinating it in something that's working for you. But what you have to do first is find out what's going to be working for you and put the time in. And although I say putting the time in, it's not like it's not hard. And everybody was so pleasantly surprised who went through the exercise with us. And it certainly doesn't have to be done in any kind of a setting away from your own home or where, you know, your apartment, your assisted living center, wherever you are, or wherever you are, you can do this testing for yourself or with a caregiver or a family member, and you then have to drill down. And in your memory, if you say, but I always liked barbecue, so go ahead and try to put barbecue sauce on something that you might not usually put barbecue sauce on and see if it makes it work for you.
Right. Right. And I noticed in looking through the recipes, you use a lot of very spicy condiments like horseradish and chili and things like that. Is that typically the best thing for people when they add the really spicy condiments and spices?
Yes, there's so many different spices, as Margie knows. Salsa, you know, the various kinds of marinades that you can make a real spicy. And those are the things that if you're a meat and potato person, that's tough. But a lot of those people go down. I send the patients to a spice shop, and they sample the different spices they didn't even know that existed. I do it in my office. I have some samples, and people love those things. They've just never had a reason to taste them.
And one thing also, Mara, about actual taste, Ron mentioned the fifth taste, the umami or umami, which was discovered by a Japanese guy at about the same time that Escoffier in France was creating veal stock, and they both kind of discovered this umami or savory flavor at just about the same time. And it's not coincidental that in the world that people really love a rich, you know, veal stock or a mushroom stock or, you know, this umami flavor. It's not a fluke, and things that really have strong to that will activate the umami are things like mushrooms and tomatoes and a lot of other fresh foods. And we have a list of things that you in the book as well that you can get at the grocery store or anywhere easily that can, you know, add mushrooms to your mashed potatoes or to your gravy. I mean, the reason that you find a lot of things already existing is because people figured out that they tasted really good together, and so you can really work off existing things and get them to a place that will work for you, of course, you know, based on your level of impairment, and change your life.
So something like mushroom can actually bring out flavor more for someone who's having a difficult time tasting?
Well, that's what our few studies have indicated, and that the umami flavor is one that even if you're having issues with, say, I can't taste sweet or I can't taste sour right now, you can still taste something that has the umami or the savory taste to then, and so then you want flavors that impart umami taste.
Yeah, well, the other thing, Mara, is that the umami taste is really the best example is MSG. People are afraid of MSG because it's had a bad rap, but actually it's not going to hurt you. There's a lot of myth about it. Accent, and I don't work with companies, that's the low sodium version of MSG, and it's you can use it on all your meats and foods, and if you're able to identify that taste, which most people are, it's a very good savory taste, and it's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about safety? What can people do about those safety issues if they have a smell disorder?
I didn't quite get that. I'm sorry.
I'm jumping back a little bit. You were talking earlier about some of the safety issues that come along with a smell disorder, and I wonder if there are lifestyle changes that they can make to make it safer, even if they can't smell.
Well, what happens is when you lose the flavors, which is, you know, sweet, the chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and you can still identify sweet, sour, bitter, and salt, you go into a restaurant, you'll see an older person pouring salt on their food because they require higher concentration as they got older. Oh, you were talking about, I'm sorry, safety, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Did I get the right word? Oh, I thought you said salt. I'm sorry. Well, I apologize. I got to get my hearing checked. I'm sorry. What did you say about the – what was the question about safety? I'm sorry.
I was wondering if there are some lifestyle changes that people can make to help them in dealing with those safety issues that come along with having a smell disorder.
Well, there's really no – it's not very difficult to have a – you're talking about safety issues as relates to food or just in general?
Food or smell, you know, smelling smoke,
yes.
Smelling people.
Well, I think the key thing we talked about is if there's anything opened in the fridge, it needs to be dated and labeled. Because by the time it turns green, it's late. And people shouldn't be eating things out of other people's fridges and, you know, if they have a smell disorder because they could not recognize it's bad. I have a number of chefs in my practice who have not been able to do their work because a lot of their food gets put into the freezer and they may not know if it's still good or not. So you have to label it and date it. There hasn't been any serious problems. But you can get gastrointestinal disorders from a food that's not that's rancid.
How about in dealing with the issue of not being able to think burning, for example?
Oh, that as well, of course. I'm correct. And there usually is a problem with that. And then if you got a memory disorder on top of that, which some of them do have, then you have forget to shut off the stove, and then you don't smell it. So that could be a double whammo.
Right. So.
And we talked about the smoke alarms and the carbon monoxide alarms and the gas alarms, which are crucial. A lot of older people don't have those in their house. And you can't rely on the one person. For example, if I go to a hotel because I didn't recover, if I'm alone, I never stay on the top floor. I take a room on the main floor. In case there's a smoke or fire, I'll be able to get out of the building. That's just something I do.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So you have to plan for that.
Yeah, you got to be aware it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And perfume. You go into the movie theater, and there's a lady that walks by, and you figured she'd throw a whole bottle of perfume on her. You know she's got a smell disorder, probably, because there's no monitor. And people just pour the stuff on. There are people that do that anyway, but most people don't. And if you know, you'd be pretty sure that that person probably has a smell disorder.
Right, right. So I guess they would have to ask other people. Did I put in a bomb?
Yes, particularly deodorant, body odor. That could be a real problem.
Mhm. Mhm. So you have to have people around you that you trust who can tell you these things.
Yes. Well, usually, this if they're spouses, they can do it, or friends. You know, and of course, it's embarrassing when somebody else tells you that's outside the family. But you know, you got to monitor that and keep aware of it.
Right. Right. So. So this is really interesting. You know, this is an interesting book. Even though I don't have a taste or smell disorder, I found it really interesting. But, you know, I think it's really important if somebody does have some of these problems to have this information, because it sounds like what you're saying is that awareness is a really big part of the solution. So if people are interested in purchasing this book or in making an appointment to come to your clinic to be evaluated, how can they do that?
Well, our book is available on Amazon. Books, it's under there, Navigating Smell and Taste Disorders. I also sell it in my office if people are visiting us. And I see a lot of patients with taste and smell disorders. It makes up about... only make up 5 or 10% of my practice, but try to help those people, and there's a place that they can go. The ENT people are very helpful in trying to find things that are surgically correctable, such as polyps and sinus, but there's a lot of other reasons that don't turn out to be surgical, and people need to know and need to get it looked at if there's a concern. And they can, our phone number you mentioned, is 512-261-7909, which is my taste and smell, my neurology clinic in total. But I do, as you know, memory, but also I have a special interest in taste and smell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also your email address, which I know I announced at the beginning of the show, but maybe you can give your email again in case people want to email you.
rdevere@austin.rr.com. rdevere, D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com is my email. My office manager is very well trained in setting up an appointment. We also have the person, if they're interested, they go to our website, which is tastesmell.com, and it has a lot of information there. And also they download the information sheet because we ask a lot of special questions on taste and smell. And so it's a 5-page sheet that people will download it at home, fill it out, and bring it in when they come with their appointment.
Okay. All right. Tasteandsmell.com. That's your website.
No, tastesmell.com.
Tastesmell.com.
Yeah, no and. Yeah, tastesmell.com.
All right, okay. And I'm going to post that on my website later tonight. So if people miss that, they can just check out my website later tonight, and on all of that contact information will be there. So this was really interesting. I want to thank you both for coming in this evening, and I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us on your show.
All right. Thank you. And have a good evening.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So we're going to take a brief break. And after the break, Betty Strexus will talk about Medicare open enrollment, which is beginning soon. So come right back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
Worry about about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about Essential Body Wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
C'est le bon ton roulé. That is what they all say. C'est le bon ton roulé. That is what they all say. C'est le bon ton roulé. That is what they all say. C'est le bon ton roulé. That is what they all say. Et toi?
Just joining us, this is Dr. Merrick Carpell in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmerrickcarpell.com. And there's something. Okay, we've been having a little bit of audio problems, and so if you tuned in earlier. Hold on just one moment. We're still having audio. All right. Okay. We have to get this audio together. So we were having a little bit of audio problems, and that's why we had to go to a different setup. So if you were confused about what was going on when I was speaking with the guest, Dr. DeVere, and Marjorie Calvert, that was what was going on. But I hope that you heard it all clearly. They have a very interesting book that I think is you know, something that you might want to get a hold of if you have a taste or smell disorder. The recipes in the back of the book look great, and they have a whole system in the book about how to test which recipes would be best for you, which flavors would be best for you if you have a taste or smell disorder. So, again, the name of that book is Navigating Smell and Taste Disorders, and that is available at Amazon.com, and it's also available at Dr. DeVere's office. And now, without further ado, we have on the phone, joining us from Houston, Texas, once again, Betty Strexus of the Texas Silverhaired Legislature, and she's joining us to talk about Medicare open enrollment. So good evening, Betty. Are you there?
I'm here, and good evening to you, too. I've got a quiz for you, Myra, or Dr. Carpell. I have a quiz.
You have a quiz?
Did you know? I have a quiz. Do you know what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow
is the beginning of Medicare Education Week.
Okay.
It's the chance for people that don't understand Medicare, and believe you me, there's a lot of us, even those of us that have been enrolled in Medicare, there are things we need to know. And here's second part of the quiz. How many people, off the top of your head, how many people do you think will become eligible for Medicare tomorrow?
Tomorrow, how many people will become eligible?
Wild guess.
Well, I forgot the number of people that are turning 65 every day.
Well, it's 10,000 every day.
Wow, that's amazing.
10,000 Americans every day are becoming eligible for Medicare, and I just bet you a Coke that not even 50 of those will be truly aware of what their benefits entail.
Yeah.
It's just such a huge program, and it's a wonderful opportunity beginning tomorrow to think about the things that you want to ask about Medicare and what it will cover for you, those of you that are turning Medicare eligible tomorrow. You baby boomers that are going to be one of the 10,000, you need to know. And it's a time that we can all refresh what we know. A lot of us that turned Medicare eligible even many years ago probably don't know exactly under A, B, C, or D where they really fit. And how many of them even know that there is a Medicare Part A, Part B, Part C, and Part D? Oh, you know, it just gets more and more complicated as we think about the health care in this country, doesn't it?
Yeah. So how can people become educated about it? I mean, what is special about this week that brings more education to people and awareness people about Medicare?
Yeah, well, it's true. There's a lot of education people that are involved. I would suggest one important hub is United Healthcare. They're very involved in National Medicare Education Week. That's United Healthcare. And by contacting them, you know, people can ask a lot of the questions that are beginning to concern them, are beginning to come up in their mind. But as confusing as it is, we have to remember one thing, and I just had a column in the Galveston paper yesterday. The British coined a term in those years before the Second World War. They coined the term, and it was stay calm. It was keep calm and carry on. And that's mm-hmm. what we've got to do with Medicare. And as we are required, you know, it's not a choice we get to make. When we turn 65, Medicare is our primary insurance. And like it or not, you need to learn about it. I'm sorry my voice is husky. We've had such heavy winds, and we've been on the island all week, Galveston Island, and the winds are so heavy, and it does this to me every year. I don't know where it brings the pollen from, but it's from an unfriendly place.
Okay. So Betty, what about Medicare open enrollment? What is Medicare open enrollment? Why do people
all
need
right,
to know?
Now, that's the next piece. That's one thing that those that are involved in educating people and reminding them in this next week of Medicare education, open enrollment is celebrated. Well, Medicare education is celebrated every year from September 15th, that's tomorrow, through the 21st. And the main reason that they do this is to remind people that the open enrollment period is rapidly approaching, and that's October 15th through December 17th. And that's when all of the government agencies, your area agencies on aging, have a lot of people on the phones, and they will be helping people decide which is the best plan for them, and it will help them make confident decisions during that open enrollment. And this isn't just for those that are just now turning 65. It's for some of us that have already reached that enrollment period, but we might want to change our plans.
Okay,
and so
this is the only time of year when you can actually change your plan. Isn't that true?
It's the time that people like me can say, well, you know, I think I'd like to change this a little bit or add something, or I need to look at a different one of the A, B, C, or D plans because I didn't understand it quite as well as I should have when I enrolled. So open enrollment isn't just for the new people. It's for all of us that are Medicare qualified, and we can have this opportunity, but it is only at this time every year, so everyone needs to be forewarned that October 15th will be here quicker than we think, and it is open until December 17th. So even though Education Week is just a week, open enrollment is over, it is a little over a month. So that gives you October 15th through December 17th. And in the Education Week that's coming up, you can understand better what you want to do during open enrollment. Be reminded that just because you're being educated this next week, you can't change until October 15th. So get your notepaper out and or go to some of the classes that are being held. There's educational seminars being held all over the country. Now, remember, United Healthcare is a medical education group that you can go to and grab on to some of that vital information regarding the resources that are going to be available for you now that you're one of those that are turning 65, anytime between now and October 15th.
So,
a lot of people.
So, and it also, as you said, it's for anybody who's on Medicare. It's really important, I think, for people to educate themselves about the different plans, even if they've been on Medicare for years and years, because the plans change, and there might be one that is better for them based on the medications that they're taking or, you know, that as their needs change, right?
Exactly. And I want to state right here that I can't even begin to answer all the questions, and I know you can't. We just have a little bit of time, so all of your listeners need to get a pencil. And we can repeat this again before the show ends if you would do that. But here's where the listeners need to go, www.n, as Nancy, M as man, E, Edward, W, woman.com. And if you would repeat that before at the end of your show, for those that didn't have a pencil handy, that's where you go online to ask the questions that you will have in mind during this next week. There'll be a lot of articles and a lot of notices on TV reminding people that the open enrollment is coming up. Take advantage of that.
Betty, can you repeat that again? Because I'm not sure if I got all of that. It's www.n like M like man, E like Edward, and then what comes after that?
W woman.
W
dot,
and then com.
.com.
All right. So I will repeat that, and that's where they can get all the information they need about open enrollment in Medicare.
And it tells about Medicare Education Week, and that's where the basics will be discussed. And people, there's seminars going on all over the country this week. Every area of Texas has seminars going on, and through that site you can find out, or your listeners can find out, where they can go that is the most convenient to their resident.
Yes, I see. I went to that site, and it has, it also has information about phone numbers that they can call to get information.
I don't have phone numbers, but if people will just go.
It's on that website, Betty. I'm looking.
They're pertinent to, but call, if the listeners would call 211. That takes them right into the area agencies on aging.
Okay.
And you know, those are scattered all over the state. We have 28 area agencies on aging. They have wonderful benefit counselors. Wonderful people are happy to help anyone that calls in with information regarding their Medicare plans.
Okay.
They're good at the job. They are good at the job and know so much more than I can even begin to explain.
Betty, I'm looking at the website that you mentioned, the www.nmew.com, and it looks like a great website. And what I was saying is that there are multiple phone numbers that people can call, like Area Agency on Aging and AARP, and there are also websites that people can go to find out all kinds of information about Medicare as well as open enrollment. So this is a great website, and I will I will mention it before the end of the show again. It's www.n like Nancy, M like Mary, EW.com, and I will also be posting it on my website later tonight so people can.
That's great. And that website is good, and those that are computer literate can just go follow the trail, hit the icons as they appear. If the listeners aren't computer knowledgeable, there's the phone numbers on that same website, and they can write down the phone number and make that call to their area agency on aging, or as you mentioned, AARP. All of them are going to be prepared this next week to help callers.
It's
a big program, and you know, there's been a lot of success in it, and we don't want to see people confused and upset because they're going into Medicare now. People need to go into it with confidence and assurance that their state agencies are trying to help them. It's their job, and they are good at it. Thank goodness they are good at it. And my husband and I have had Medicare for a while now, and in fact, we were talking to some people at church this morning and saying, you know, Medicare isn't something that is fearful. When you start Medicare, you think, oh, my goodness, this is going to be just so confusing to me. But if you go into it with an open mind that the government is trying to help you, and if you don't feel that good, look on that website and go to the agencies that are listed there. Call
right.
them, and help is at hand. And remember what the Brits say, keep calm and carry on.
Right.
We can surely do that.
Knowledge is power. Information is power. So
it,
more information.
It is, yes. And tell a neighbor. You know, all your listeners, go out and tell a neighbor. Call a friend after the end of the show. Keep listening, because there's lots of other interesting things on the golden years this evening. But when it's over, call your family, call your children and tell them, hey, I need a little help tomorrow or tomorrow night. Come over and help me check out this website and draw the family into it. When you have children that aren't on Medicare yet, they get a little nervous about what are mom and dad going to do now that they're entering the Medicare phase of their life.
Trust me,
it's not so bad. It is not so bad. There's a lot of things worse about the golden years, Dr. Carpell. There are worse things about the golden years than Medicare. And it's fortunate we have people that can be our finders and help us, like the Medicare beneficiary counselors at the AAAs. They're, as I said,
right.
great people. And, you know, I think I would, I think I could think of probably 8 or 10 things real quick that are a lot worse than Medicare once you turn 65.
Well, we won't go there, though. So, Betty, thank you very much for joining us tonight and letting everybody know about this. I will definitely be posting that later on tonight on my website, so if people missed it, they can catch it there. And
good. Very good. I understand I'm going to give a plug to a couple of your guests that you're having in the next few weeks, I understand, and that is the Dr. Jula Polly from Houston. They're two favorites of mine, and you and your listeners are going to be overjoyed at these two young men that have such an interest in helping people. They are just delightful. They have a wonderful approach to medicine. They are both physicians, MDs, and they're so fresh and caring about people, and I'm excited they're going to be on your show. I can't wait.
Yes. They'll be on November the 9th. And thank you for connecting me with us.
Have a great week.
All right. You have a good night.
Thank you. All bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. So we are going to go now to, without any further ado, we're going to go to the producer.
I leave the North now to survive. She owes so many people, she stayed alive. If you get in front of her past, she will. She'll eat you alive. It's the truth. You have a little trouble with your nose. Watch it change colors like a rosy glow. If you see your face in the mirror when it's down on its side, you better hide.
You'll lose your hide, and I'm going to show you. Make a transaction, you make a buy. Well, it's all in fashion, you want to try. If you seek the truth from the mountain where it grows and it thrives, they'll say she lied. But you better hide. She hallies the north now to survive. She owes so many people and stayed alive. If you get in front of her path, she will. She'll eat you alive. Hey! You drive home paranoid. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. La verdad, hombre, ándale.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And we were listening to some of the music of our next guest, who is the producer of this show, artist and musician Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, is now on this side of the microphone to talk about his music, his upcoming musical project. And also, maybe he'll talk a little bit about what to expect right here on Your Golden Years. So welcome to this side of the microphone, Art.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background if they haven't heard you before?
Well, I've been in music since I was 21 years old, which is a long time ago. Started a group called Toby Bo. And that was in 1972, and got signed for a national group, and then started a second group called Full Moon in 1978. And then I signed with David Braun for a first rights refusal of all my artistic endeavors, whether it be music, art, poetry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And since he was one of the top attorneys that during his time would review everything and tell me where to go with it. Then I went ahead and met my second wife, Gina Haley, the daughter of Bill Haley of the Comets, and went ahead and took her to Los Angeles and introduced her to all the people of L.A. And then I had a group called Art Exhibit with her, and then came back to the state, to Texas, and have been doing all the production work that I've been doing up to now. Started the Accomplice Entertainment with my partner, Larry Cohen. He was from Sony CBS, and a phenomenal, phenomenal man. Everybody who's in the music industry knows who Larry Cohen is, I think. And then started to work on a play called Backwards on Purpose, And that song there was one of the songs that is played in the play Backwards on Purpose. And that's where I am right now. So I'm not there right now, but over here right now.
Okay, right here you're producing this show, so.
Yeah, I produce the show also.
That's right. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what is Backwards on Purpose? What's the story of that?
Well, I'm not going to tell you everything about Backwards on Purpose because then it wouldn't be a shock, you know, surprise when everyone sees it.
Okay.
But it's basically a story about my life in music. And the song there, I'll give you an example. That song there was a song that I wrote when I was performing for the cast and crew of the movie Johnny B. Goode in San Antonio at the St. Anthony Hotel. And a quick story, I went ahead and got into my dressing room, and on the floor of my locker there was a letter, and I opened up the letter because it wasn't sealed or anything. And the first line on the letter was, you're not going to believe how many drugs are in this hotel. And the St. Anthony Hotel, if anybody knows what it is, it's one of the most beautiful hotels in San Antonio. It's where John Wayne stayed when he was filming the Alamo. And I noticed that there was this young lady who was a waitress who had swarms of people around her. And so I went like, oh, I know what's going on. She's probably dealing in something. And so I took my break and I wrote the song, It's the Truth. And then I went up on the second set, and I pointed at the lady, and I said, this song is for you. She looked at me very angrily, and I played the song, and the song is about cocaine. And the next day, I got a restraining order to stay away from the hotel 50 yards. So needless to say, I must have hit a nerve, or they just didn't like my music. But I know they did, because the actors would meet me out in the park. And asked me, what happened? I said, well, this is what happened. And they just started laughing and said, well, we got to go back. I said, okay. And that was Michael Anthony Hall and Robert Downey Jr. And it was a fun time. But that's basically what it's about, all the little misgivings that happen in one's life, but yet turn them into something good, like I turned that into a song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Backwards on Purpose is about. And hopefully it'll be entertaining enough. I've got, Tracy Leimbert. Is that her last name?
Leifert.
Leifert. Okay, Tracy Leifert is a graduate of theater, and she's helping me with all the things that I need to do for theater because I've never done theater, but I know what I want done, and she's putting it into her jargon, what has to be done. And we are getting the stage setting and understanding the lighting and everything that needs to be done for the play. So I'm very happy that I have her helping me with it because it would be pretty crazy if I said, like, well, you know, when you have a light flat shining on this side, what does that mean? And she's telling me what stage vibe, backstage, front stage, that, all that kind of stuff is. Upstage, uh-huh. Downstage, and all that good talk. And so we're getting everything ready, and I'm already past the I'm almost three-quarters done with the monologue or the copy that I'll be reading. And all the songs have been arranged. I've got a 10-song CD that will be made. We're mixing four more songs. I've already got 5 songs are mastered already and have the last 5 to go. And that will be quite interesting. I was in the studio with Tomas Ramirez, Michael Longoria, Steve Zirkel about a month ago, and we put down 4 songs that needed to be finished. And now everything's ready to be mixed. So that's what's going on now. And let's play another song, and I'll tell you about that one.
All right. Let's play another song.
Yeah, this one is called Spit. Sounds like a silent spit.
Thank you. dong dong dong, billy da, dong dong dong, billa de da, doo 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 doo.
Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, who is the producer of this show, and he's a musician and entertainer. And Art, can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yes, about South Padre Island, Texas. Is that enough?
Okay.
Yeah, it's about the spirit of South Padre Island and how I've always, every group I've ever created, I created from there. It's really interesting because I go to the valley and I go to the island and my ideas start flourishing there in Bayview, and then I just go like, okay, I got to do this now. And so that's what I do. But let's talk about what's going to be happening here on
Yeah.
We're going to be getting some great artists. Jimmy Berg has agreed to come on, and he'll be on. I also have Lauren J. Reed, who's going to be coming on. And again, Liz Morphus, Claude Butch Morgan, who is a phenomenal writer. All are great musicians, incredible artists. And then we're going to be going to YouTube, which is very interesting, probably at the end of October or the beginning of November, just deciding on what equipment to use. Lighting is the most important thing. But now everybody's telling me to go to the iPhone because the iPhone's so great. And I'm going like, yeah, but I don't know, man. I know that they make cameras, they make video cameras because that's what they do, strictly video. So we're kind of debating on what to do there. And so we're going to be going YouTube, which will change the format a little bit because we'll have our guest on for the first hour, which will be YouTube. And then the YouTube, and then also the artist will be on just for a few minutes and then go back to full radio for the second hour. So we're getting all the schematics for that to get it ready for viewing for YouTube as well as on Blog Talk Radio. And that's really about it. So...
Well, if people want to see what you can say is how people can find out more about what you're doing, about these projects, about this radio show, and about your Backwards on Purpose project and anything else you might do.
They can go to Facebook and go to Backwards on Purpose on Facebook, and all capital letters for the beginning of each word, capital B, capital O, and capital P. Backwards on Purpose on Facebook. They can go to Accomplice Entertainment, which will talk about everything, and they can also go to Art Mendoza. And if you're interested in any Oriental produce or anything like that, I also have another site called International. No, what is it called anyway? I can't remember it. Universal Farms. Yeah, that's for my produce and everything that we grow out in Rio Hondo. And
okay.
That's about it.
All right, so I will post all of those on my website tonight. The main ones, the Backwards on Purpose and Accomplice Entertainment.
That's right.
Okay.
And I'll be talking to you later.
All right. Thank you.
All righty, bye.
Bye. right. So, okay, we have come to the end of another show. So I want to let you know what's happening next week before we end the show tonight. Next Sunday, very exciting show. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to every show. So, you know, I don't necessarily have to say that, but I am looking forward to this because it's going to be a little bit different. It'll be very interesting, the discussion. Next Sunday, September 21st, we will be back here in Austin, right here in the Frost Bank building, and I will be joined right here in the studio by Jihan Baraka, who is the founder of the Global Quantum Shift. So she's going to talk about how we can all make a shift at any age in our life in order to live with more joy, as well as the quantum shift dealing with healing the global community. So really interested in that. I don't know what she's going to say. So I think it'll be very interesting for everybody to listen to. Also next week, Warwick Elizunas will be back to report in from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, to let us know what the American retirees are up to in paradise. And we will have another musician as usual. We always have great musicians. I don't think we've ever had a bad musician. So I think, I don't know who it is yet, but I know it'll be good. And we'll have more. There'll be more topics that will be a surprise. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show and about upcoming shows, or you want to be a sponsor, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P, like Peter, E-L, .com. And all that information will be uploaded later tonight. Also, be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And if you want to hear the podcast right away, if you can't wait, then go to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Your Golden Years, and the podcast will be there in 5 minutes. Tonight's show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, by Pulse Productions, and by Psyched Up Productions, sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Dr. Ronald DeVere, Marjorie Calvert, Betty Strexis, and Art Mendoza. And thank you, Art and Russell, for running the show. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
I almost spoke all the words that I wanted to say. I almost saw what you look like, bless your wall.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.